Professor Sakai and members in the high table, friends. First of all, I would like to express my gratitude to Tufts and the Global Campus Program for giving me the opportunity to be here and comment on very interesting papers. At the outset, I must state two limitations that I am having. First is that commenting papers without prior reading it.
I'm sorry for that.
Yes.
I'm so sorry for that.
Yes. Because, just to quote Sri Lankan saying, this is just like commenting on bride without really seeing her.
100% I agree with you. This is our fault. I'm sorry
for that. Yes. The second limitation is the time frame. After listening to these presentations, four presentations are very lucid, thought-provoking. Therefore, the second limitation is how to make my comments within this very shorter period. Then I will try to do best because I want to do justice to these papers. I will go to the first paper, official paper. That is very interesting. And he presents very important ideas. At the same time, it can be highly debated. Point of departure of his presentation is the division of conflicts, wars into two categories, conventional and unconventional warfare. That is the point of departure of his presentation. With that, his issue here, the issue the dealing with is how to deal with peacemaking and peace building in unconventional warfare. Then, thirdly, after discussing that thing, he come to the conclusion, especially when democratic states deal with unconventional warfare, to use its word, temporarily and limited way, deviation from international humanitarian laws and Geneva conventions should be permitted. It is not permitted, it is unavoidable. Yes, this is the argument, if I present it very succinct way, then I would like to make few comments. First thing, in order to understand his research problematic, I think it is necessary to locate his research problem in proper politico-historical context. In order to do that, I think the main basics, division of conventional and unconventional warfare. Then he identified various categories of unconventional warfare. It is not new. This is, we know, international relations. About 10 years back or 15 years back, people like Professor Halsey identified this unconventional warfare, various categories, declaration of war, then traditional wars and all these things. Therefore, that part of his paper is not new at all. But the beauty and the crux of his presentation is how to deal with unconventional warfare, especially with the recent experiences. Then, in order to proceed with that, I would like to first, it is necessary to, I think, identify conventional warfare, because other of the unconventional warfare is the conventional warfare. Conventional warfare emerged with the modern nation states. This is called Westphalian system. According to the rules of the law, states has the right to declare war. It is the one of the element and one of the behavior of the states. Then at the same time, with the development of international Westphalian system, modern nation states, they develop certain conventions. Ultimately, in the 21st century, now we have a clear set of international humanitarian law that controls behavior, war behavior of the states. Then, here issue here is right now, we are witnessing completely different set of wars, especially after the Second World War. Undeclared, then very, very clearly, he identified the characteristics of these things. My issue here is, in order to deal with this unconventional warfare, can we use that type of the tactics, the state-centered, the strategies? Then to what extent we can achieve success in dealing that? Especially, now the problem here is, now we are witnessing a completely paradigm shift of situation. Role and functions of the nation state is decreasing. At the same time, we have to redefine the concept of citizenship. That means the state system that we are in and we were introduced with the development of modern age is now gradually declining. With that, the modern state system, modern historical age, has certain foundations. Political foundation based on so-called nation states, and economic foundation, and also ideological framework based on positivist ideological scholastic approach. Now, with new development, this paradigm is changing. Therefore, those new wars, unconventional wars, are symptoms of this paradigm shift. For example, a state cannot fulfill its role, but at the same time, no institutional or no structure of power and governance is emerging in order to take the role of the state. Then take off identity. A state can't maintain identity of its, represent the identity of its all citizens. Those are the problems. In this situation, thing is, we have to identify root causes and symptoms. All these, are we addressing symptoms of these things or root causes of? Then one thing. Second thing, when we think of all these things, all these conflicts, can we put all these eggs in one basket? For example, we have riots, gang warfare, elitist conflict, ethnic conflict, secessionist struggles, class struggles, ethnic cleansing, programs, border disputes. All these things are, some of them are problems of post-colonial state formation. Some of them are really completely different set of questions, the disputes. In this situation, we have to be very careful. Because when we think of democracies, democracy is not a carte blanche where anybody can write anything. then at the same time, we have to think about various root causes of problems. And when we think of democracy, dealing with unconventional warfare, it is internal democratic states dealing with internal things. So democratic states dealing with international things. Then those are the problems, because nation states, citizenship, and international system are always interrelated. Secondly, you know, I would like to dwell on more, but because of the time limitation, I would like to go to the second, the presentation. This is also very interesting, because that presentation, I like that presentation because it forces us to think about ourselves. Ourselves means discipline of peace and conflict studies. It is in the sense it that paper tries to address epistemology of peace studies, in the sense the nature of the knowledge that peace studies is going to bring, and secondly, ontology of peace studies, that is the way knowledge is constructed. Then his point of departure is the identification of various concepts, from conflict to conflict, violence, peace, change, development, transition, corruption, and threshold of tolerance. First, the first part of his presentation, his paper, abstract, he tries to define these concepts, because defining the concepts are very important. What is meant by these things? Then, from that setting the background, he goes to another important element, that is levels of analysis and kind of conflict represent. Those are very important things, because when we think of conflicts, it is a very broad. We will not be able to put all the eggs into one basket. Therefore, levels of analysis and kinds of conflict represent are very important. Then from that point of view, the paper goes to change, another important thing, change and transition, how to deal with concept of transition in the discipline of peace and conflict prevention, peace and conflict studies. Because peace, when we define that peace, peace is not always good. Society, one of the basic elements of societies change. According to Buddha, this is called anitya. In science, we call it motion. If peace is trying to preach the social order, then invariably outcome would be conflict. Because society demands continuous transition. Therefore, peace studies should address especially how to manage the transition. Then the fourth part, that presentation goes to conflict transformation. Conflict transformation, he addresses particular, very specific problem, that is corruption in conflict transformation. That is also, that's why I said it is basically addresses, the paper addresses epistemology as well as ontology of peace studies. Then we have other third paper, that is, this is also very interesting, that is planetary context for 21st century education, earth chart and education. The beauty of that paper and the crust of paper is that the argument is that we need a paradigm shift in peace studies. Because he says that, here also he begins with negative and positive conflicts and say we paid attention to negative piece. And positive piece, we could not grasp it and we failed to work on positive piece. Question is why? Why a state failed to address positive piece? But here I would like to go a little bit further. Positive piece is, we know all negative and positive piece, and positive piece is also addressing processes and structures that leads to conflict and violence. Therefore, it is very necessary to take it piece as a process. Therefore, the conclusion, he with that framework, he said, yes, it is very necessary to have a behavioral change. But my problem here is, this. I have a serious problem here. Because when we think of triangular relationship between attitudes, behavior, and structures, invariably behavior influences structures, and structures influences behavior. Behavior influences attitudes, attitudes also influences behavior. Same way, structures and behavior had very close relationship. If you just deviate the structures and just pay attention to attentions, we will not be able to grasp the totality of the problem we are addressing. Can I have another 1 minute? Then the last, the presentation, it is very lucid. Pay attention to Indonesian situation. He begins with saying that identifying Indonesia represent a miniature conflict of modern day world, various types of conflicts. Yes. Then with that, he identified three approaches. He identified three categories of approaches that has been employed to understand and explain Indonesian situation. Then essentialist, the primordial perspective. Then instrumentalist and structuralist approaches. Then he points out that approaches and policy initiatives have very close relationship, because it relates to each other. When we look at when approach also promotes certain types, the kind of the approach. Therefore, you know, here ultimately his conclusion, okay, there were weaknesses. Okay. How do we understand the conflict as well as how do we promote peace? In order to promote peace, okay, look at where we lived. To use other words, monsoon Asia, rice is eating monsoon Asia, historically knew how to live each, how to accommodate different cultures. Diversity is the beauty of Asian landscape. Because of monsoon waves, we knew from historically how to deal with difference. Therefore, difference is not a problem. Then in order to solve that problem, we will go back to the traditional values. Yes, it is true, but my problem in this information age, when the computers and televisions with microchips determine everything, therefore, can we go back? Therefore, how can we proceed? At the same time, he said it is ongoing, the project. Therefore, I think I'm waiting to see the completion of his project. Thank you.
Despite the limited time, thank you very much for the comment And thank you very much for your insightful reaction. I am sure that all the speakers, including myself and the audience, would be thinking about further questions. But you must be hungry by now. So, we would like to break for lunch before questions and answers. This will be a one-hour lunch break. And after you have prepared by eating your lunch, we shall plunge into questions and answers. We will restart from 1:45.